One morning, Joyce went on a walk to clear her mind, and she heard a voice saying, "My daughter, do not worry. I am the only creator. This is a miracle baby. Do your best for her and trust me." Joyce looked around, but no one was in sight. She knew God had spoken to her. A year later, the Africa Mercy came to Benin, and Juju received free corrective surgery on board. God was faithful to Joyce, and she gives him all the glory for healing her daughter. See how your partnership changes lives at mercyships.org.
I'm Ruth Kramer with Mission Network News. On Sunday, Russia's President Vladimir Putin won a fifth term in office in elections that have received mixed international attention. Joel Griffith with Slava Gospel Association says that even with significant crackdown on opposition to the government and freedom of speech, the Russian church is resourceful, prayerful, and faithful in sharing the gospel amid increasing pressure. Pray wisdom for church leaders navigating a politically charged nation. Then, Lebanon's spiritual landscape is changing one family, one child at a time. Camille Melke with Heart for Lebanon says that when people realize God's unconditional love, they start to accept those with whom they don't see eye to eye. With that kind of transformation in mind, Heart for Lebanon offers schooling to 1,300 children, including lessons in biblical character traits like love, forgiveness, and acceptance. Find your place in this story at missionnews.org. Thanks for listening to Mission Network News, a service of One Way Ministries. I'm Ruth Kramer.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
They parked that ugly car in front of my yard again.
We shouldn't be too surprised when an unbeliever does something inconsiderate. God is love, and when someone doesn't know Him, they're not likely to truly show love. But someone who knows God doesn't have an excuse.
I was headed out for church this morning, and I just glared at them.
It's sad when someone claims to be a disciple of Jesus, but doesn't show love.
I was hoping that giving them the look would tell them I didn't approve.
Romans 5:5 says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, you have the ability to truly love by the power of God's Spirit. Ask God to pour His love through you to those around you today. With Seeking Him, I'm Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth.
Liftoff. Welcome to SWAT Radio. This is Craig Henderson with Doug McCary.
I just hit Craig with that.
Yes, you did.
Craig was sitting there looking at me because a lot of times Craig will be in here and I'll kind of start it off and I just pointed at him and said, "You got it, Craig," and he wasn't expecting that. Sorry, Craig, to put you on there.
No problem.
I sure appreciate you coming in. That's always be ready, right? You must always be ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's so good to have you. Craig is a leader at the Mandarin SWAT group and has been one of the teachers down there. And David and Brad are out, and Craig is so gracious to come in. And it's good to have you in here. So I get to catch up with you. And that's what I love about doing the radio with you, Brad or David, just in between. You know, we can cover the stuff from the Bible study, but we also get to visit. And so that's good, just like we were before.
That's right. Well, it's a privilege to be on here, and it is good to catch up with you.
So even if Bobby Schrader isn't listening, we're going to say hi to him.
Yeah.
We were just talking about Bobby. So if you know Bobby Schrader, go up and say, "Hey, we heard about you on the radio, man. Somebody was talking about you." So we're trying to make Bobby a SWAT guy, but unfortunately, I think he played football at Rice.
They didn't
quite make it to the SWAT level, but we're working on it. Now, anyway, it's good to have you in. If you're just tuning into SWAT for the first time, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth, and it spawned out of the SWAT Bible studies. We have five core values. One is God's Word, which is our starting point and our authority. God's Word for us is the dividing line of truth. So whatever is said by any person, it doesn't matter who they are, as it relates to God, as it relates to our lives in this world, the Bible is our authority, and we believe that, and that's what we proclaim. Second is prayer, and prayer is staying close to our commander. It's being in touch. It's like John Piper says, too often in the church, we use prayer like an intercom on a cruise ship calling for service instead of like a radio on a battleship calling for divine support.
Amen. Yeah.
And so we need to have that kind of mentality. And so prayer, in our view, and as part of our priorities, is staying close to the commander. Third is evangelism. It's engaging witnesses for impact. We want to see every believer. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, there is absolutely no reason that every day you shouldn't be praying for at least one person that's not following Jesus. And also asking God for opportunities to reach out to that person as a witness to them of somebody who is walking with him in hopes that he would give you an opportunity to share with them. And as we talked about yesterday, we'll kind of go again today, our responsibility is not to cultivate the seed or not to grow the seed. It's merely to throw the seed out. He does the growing. And then fourth is discipleship. Our fourth core value is we're making Christ's command, his last command, our first priority, which is go make disciples, teaching them all that I've commanded. And then the fifth one is a community, a band of brothers who are banded together around the word that stand shoulder to shoulder to walk through difficult times, the storms of life, and to be on mission together. And those are our core values, and hopefully that's what we're asking God to continue to grow in us. And I think those are some pretty good core values, Craig, for us to be walking through.
Oh, yeah, I love them because it really entails not just our our relationship with Christ and studying God's word, which is, I have somebody that tells me, calls it, deeper in God's word, closer to Christ, and it really is digging into the word and studying in prayer. And I think evangelism is not just what we say, it's how we live. And people see that.
Yeah. And, you talk about God's word. So many people want to hear from God. Well, if you want to hear from God, you open up his word. That's how he speaks to us. He has given his word to us as his word to us for life, his word to us for how to relate to him. And the primary thing that the word reveals to us is he sent his son Jesus to be the Messiah, which we don't really understand the true meaning of that word, but it really is he came to rule and to reign. He's the anointed one. The euangelion, we've been talking about that for about a year now, and where Mark starts his gospel off with the beginning of the gospel. The word gospel is euangelion, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark's whole purpose is trying to reveal the good news, the great news. In fact, it's the greatest news that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And Jesus, in this text we're looking at this week, is continuing to reveal parables or speak in parables to the disciples. And he tells them, he explains it to them privately. But we're going to look in that. We'll jump in that in a minute. Usually the first segment, if you're just tuning in, is kind of looking at things going on in our world or kind of catching up on things that might be happening in our community. And I wanted to let you know, tomorrow I have Dave Jenkins on. And Dave Jenkins has got a ministry out in the West Coast, actually. And I met Dave recently at the Shepherd's Conference. And Dave is the executive director of Servants of Grace Ministries. He's going to be my guest tomorrow. He wrote a book called The Word Matters, talking about the Bible. Wrote another book called The Word Explored. he is going to be sharing some of that. But Dave is a networker. He has been very connected with Christian publishers and connected me with some different people out there, one of whom we're going to have on the radio April 4th, a lady named Nancy Piercy. You might recognize that name. Nancy has been on many news organizations, and she wrote a book called The Toxic War on Masculinity. And she's a professor, and she's going to come on and share some of the thoughts on that book and respond to some questions I have about it. That was one of the books they gave away at the conference, and so I'm excited that she is going to be on to be able to share with us. And then next week, we're going to have Glenn Ellison. Glenn Ellison is a local guy, and he runs a camp, used to be called Camp Consequence here in Jacksonville, but he's the CEO and founder of, they call it the Parent Help Center now.
Okay.
And he's going to be talking about his success camp that, you know, he's been on news stations as well. And he's the Parent Help Center does a lot to help parents who are dealing with teenagers that have issues. And I don't know if you've noticed it, Craig, but there's a lot of teenagers with issues. I don't know if you saw the other day, there was some activity out at the beach, a bunch of teenagers,
oh my goodness,
man. They were doing Fight Club
Saint
out there.
Patrick's
yeah,
Day.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's just, I mean, it's just.
So Glenn will be our guest next week. And then the following week, we'll have Nancy Piercy. And then I've also got coming up in April a guy named Mike Riccardi, who's on staff at the Grace Church out in California. He wrote a great little booklet on sanctification and really had some insightful thoughts there. And so I'm looking forward to having him on. And so it's just cool when you get to go out there and meet. But Dave, the guy I have on tomorrow, is the guy who connected me to all these people.
So. Yeah, sanctification is a subject, I think, that doesn't get talked about enough at all.
No.
And probably a very misunderstood principle in our
spiritual
growth.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even know what the word means.
Right.
Yeah, they hear sanctified or it literally means growth. And it's our growth. And this pastor out in California, Mike Riccardi, does a great, great job. He has a little booklet on it where he basically takes scripture. You know, people say all the time, why do we need a book other than the Bible? Why? Well, listen, do you listen to a pastor every week? If you listen to a pastor teach, then a lot of times that pastor will take things they've taught and they will put it into a little booklet. And all it is a supplement. It never replaces the scripture, but it can be helpful. I've read books, you know, most of my life, and some of the greatest books to me are the old, I call them the ODGs, the old dead guys. They wrote 200 years ago. But, you know, guys like Isaac Watts and, you know, Hudson Taylor and George Mueller, those kind of guys. But today there's young guys, and this guy's young, but he has been really gifted to articulate in a way that, to be honest with you, I haven't seen in Scripture.
Wow.
Somebody explain it the way he has. So I'm looking forward to having him on, and Nancy Piercy, too. So I hope you'll continue to hang with us through March and into April as we have some of these interviews. And we're going into the Easter season. We were just talking about that. And, you know, I have to tell you, Craig, even before I came on, this was really bizarre. Like, I had this thing on I get Twitter feeds sometimes. It's called X now.
Yeah.
And it was actually a church that dressed up everybody on staff or actors like Batman, Robin, the Joker, the Riddler. And they did an Easter passion play with those characters. Now, I want to tell you, I think we've seen what people call church go to a whole new level when you start seeing that stuff.
It's a little bit,
is that not crazy?
That challenges me for sure.
Yeah, the New Testament church, I was reading about it in a history There's a book called 2,000 Years of the Power of Christ, and it's a five-volume history on the church starting from day one. And it was fascinating to read through that the early church, when they met, they would usually meet for a couple of hours, but they don't even talk about the music very much. In fact, they probably had very little. I'm not saying they didn't have any.
Right.
But yeah, the emphasis was not on music. Today, it seems to be like there's more emphasis on music. In fact, I've spoken in churches before where they would allocate 40 minutes to music and only 15 minutes to the preaching the word. Of the word, which is really questionable, right? And so,
certainly, yeah.
So anyway, we need to be guarded against things like that and not be afraid to kind of speak out to that. And people justify, well, they're just trying to reach people. That's called pragmatism. When you become pragmatic, it's called marketing the church. You don't have to market Jesus. You simply walk with Jesus, know Jesus. And like we were talking about yesterday, it will begin to overflow out of you. So anyway.
Yeah, I think if you look in Jesus' ministry, it was really interacting directly with people.
Absolutely. And there was no smoke and mirrors, no fancy bait and switch. It was the preaching of the word. That was his priority. He said,
that's right,
I came to preach the Evangelion.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. Again, SWAT Radio. If you can want to call in at any time, it's 1-844-777-7928. 1-844-777-SWAT. Call in for any questions. And if you want to talk about our upcoming subject in Mark, the parable of the mustard seed.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida. They are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards. 904-580-7255. That's 904-480-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. That's guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group. Happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth.
Tuesday, March 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is hosting its inaugural job fair, uniting job seekers, employers, and community members toward talent and career growth. Job seekers can explore opportunities aligned with their skills and faith, while employers gain access to a pool of candidates dedicated to Christian values in the workplace. All are welcome to attend with special rates and sponsorship options for chamber members looking to increase visibility. Author and host of the Mere Christians podcast, Jordan Rayner, is the featured guest speaker of the day. Several other Christian professionals, educators, and personalities will be leading informative and inspiring breakout sessions. Save the date, enjoy lunch, and secure your spot as space is limited. The Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce 2024 Job Fair, Tuesday, March 26th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Schultz Center, 4019 Boulevard Center Drive, Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit neflchristianchamber.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, serving Anastasia Island at 91.9.
I push, I pull, go back and forth, finding myself. pounding on a locked door. I try to make it out alone without your help, but I know I never win this war. I can never be, never be free without you. I can never be, never be me without you.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio.
I told you I was giving it to you, Craig. So Craig's sitting here looking. This is how you know we're live, folks, because
we are.
We do this stuff. But I'm sitting here, and Craig's trying to get my attention, and I'm like, I'm waiting for him to bring us in. I told him he's training.
This is my first time having to do the intro and the exits from.
Okay, Jeremy, we're gonna have to schedule him for some practice with you in here. Okay, intros and outros.
That's right.
So go ahead.
Welcome back. Welcome back to SWAT Radio with Doug McHarry. We're getting ready to talk about the parables out of Mark chapter 4. And we covered two previously in the week. And we will begin to talk a little bit about those. That is the parable of the lamp under a basket. Then we talk about the parable of the seed growing. And then we'll dig into the parable of the mustard seed.
Yeah, and these parables, remember, follow the all-important parable according to Jesus himself. Jesus stated that the parable of the sower in the soils is so important. In fact, it's the key. If you don't understand the parable of the sower in the soils, he says you won't understand any parable about the kingdom. So every time we look at any other parable, we're going to talk about the sower and the soils because it's the key. And what is a parable? First of all, the rabbi said that teaching anything without a parable is like a basket without handles. So they used parables to illustrate the truth that they were trying to teach. So they would teach it, they would model it, but they would then give a parable to help people understand. And parables were something that were used to kind of take everyday things going on, whether it's farming, whether it's something historical happening in their current world, and they would tell a story. And the listener in that culture would be listening to the story, trying to figure out who they are in the story.
Right, right.
That was always the job of the listener. Okay, he's telling me this. Who am I?
That's right.
And what am I supposed to do with it, right? The truth. And so just to go back to Mark 4, 1 through 20, the hardening or the hardened heart, the rocky heart, the thorny heart, and the good heart, there's four different types of soil that Jesus talks about. And that each soil represents the heart. And the hard heart, the gospel goes out and it never takes any root. It never penetrates the ground. The superficial heart is that it's a ground that still is really unprepared. It has rocks in it. And so the seed will go in and it'll find a little dirt that it can get into, but the root goes down, but it doesn't go very far because there's rocks. And it never gets to the source of nutrition, the source of water. So even though it pops up immediately and looks like a good plant, when the sun comes out, Jesus says, it wilts. And the sun represents temptation, tribulation, persecution. And the thorny soil represents a soil that the seed takes root. And again, it pops up and looks like the real thing. But it's immediately choked by the cares of the world. And that's Hellenism. Each one of these soils represents the people that are there. The hard soil is the Pharisees. The superficial heart is the curious, the unprepared soil Jews. The distracted heart is the Hellenist, the material prosperity, the progressive thinking. But there's one who's a fruitful heart. This is the true followers. And so on Monday, we looked at the parable of the lamp And it's a short little parable where Jesus basically said, you don't light a lamp. Or in fact, he didn't state it. He asked the question. He said, is a lamp brought in and then put under a basket? Well, of course not. That's a ridiculous question. It's supposed to light up the room. And so Jesus is telling his followers that you've been given the light. You don't hide it. You go share it. And so our responsibility is to sow the seed of the gospel, the euangelion. And then yesterday, we looked at the second parable he told after the soils, which was the parable of the seed growing. And what was interesting about that, Craig, is he said that the man scatters the seed and then it grows, but he doesn't know how.
Yeah.
He just goes out and he does what he does and he comes back and it grows. And it grows, first of all, there's a blade. And then it grows into an ear and then the full grain. So it's a process. And, you know, he is telling them that when we speak truth, when we live a consistent life of witness, you know, to the fact that God is real in our life, when we answer people's questions as we share with them, when we love them, when we pray for them, God will use those things to bring growth. But we won't understand how to do it because it's a spiritual thing that God does.
Right.
In the same way we can't understand how a seed grows through air, light, soil, water, and all those things working, you can't sit there and really explain it to me. I mean, unless you're like a biologist who really, but even then, can you really explain what the sun does when it does the photosynthesis?
Yeah, no,
can you really explain about all the absorption and the way it multiplies? And it's insane. It's a God sovereign thing. Nothing happens apart from God. And that's really what that whole little parable is about, that he grows the seed. Growing the gospel is his responsibility. So for all you parents out there, for all you spouses, for all you people that have loved ones that are not walking with the Lord, all you can do is throw seed out and then just pray.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Pray. And pray and trust God to water, trust him to bring the other stuff that is needed to produce the fruit in that plant, because only he can do that.
Yeah, that's right. I was we were talking about this a couple weeks ago in SWAT. I remember a quote from this reminded me of a quote from Mother Teresa when asked about what she did and why she did what she did. And what she said is, I'm just a pencil in God's hands.
Yes.
And I love that because it tells the story of, I don't make the change. God's the one that makes the change. I just am the one that is faithful for my part of the process, which is, like you said, sharing the gospel at scattering the seed.
Just throwing it out.
Right.
And so often, you know, people get really, they kind of get bound up when they start to think about the fact that they haven't. In fact, David and I was talking about that the other day. He said, you know, I always feel guilty or I feel convicted when I hear these kind of things because I realize I could be doing more. Well, the point anytime you feel that is, you know, as believers, we don't feel guilt, we feel conviction.
Right.
And what we do with that is we repent. That's what, you know, 1 John 1:9 is all about. If we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins and we move on. We say, God, I have not been a faithful witness. Help me to be a faithful sower. Help me to throw the seed out there. And by the way, you know, when you throw the seed out there, you don't pound the seed into hard ground.
Mm-mm. No, I like the way the term here, it was scatter.
Yes.
It's you scatter the seed. It's like everywhere you go, you know, it's not like you say, it's not putting it in, it's scattering it. And God uses that.
He will. Well, this last little parable in chapter 4 is the parable of the mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed?
I think I read where it's like the size of a peppercorn or something, maybe, or even smaller.
Even smaller. It's like a, you know what a fleck of pepper is? Like one.
Okay.
Like when you see one little fleck of pepper, that's what it's like. I have some. In fact, I should have brought one in today. I didn't think about it, but I've got a bottle from them over there. It's the smallest of seeds, but it is a, Jesus says in this text, basically that God's kingdom is going to keep increasing and it's unstoppable. That's the whole point. And actually, it's only, it's 30 through 34. What do we have, about 1 minute? So when we come back from the news, Craig, what I'll get you to do is read 30 through 34. And it's really, it's almost self-explanatory. It's one of those, but we're going to, we'll talk about it. And look at each verse, what it means. But his kingdom is unstoppable. And you and I are here today talking on the radio about the euangelion because of the unstoppableness of his kingdom.
Amen. That's exactly right. And that's right. You're listening to SWAT Radio with Doug McCary and Craig Henderson. We'll be back right after the news.
SRN News, I'm John Scott. Correspondent Donna Warder reports the Texas immigrant arrest law is temporarily on hold.
The appeals court put the law on hold ahead of scheduled oral arguments today, and it's not clear how quickly the next decision might come. Under the Texas law that was put on hold, once defendants are in custody on illegal entry charges, they can agree to a judge's order to leave the U.S. or face prosecution.
That's correspondent Donna Warder. Also at SRNNews.com, former President Donald Trump has clarified his position on abortion. Correspondent Jennifer King with that report.
The presumptive Republican presidential nominee is suggesting he would support a national ban on abortions around 15 weeks of pregnancy. Abortion rights have been a galvanizing issue for voters, and Trump has refrained until now from embracing a specific limit, warning that it can backfire politically. In a radio interview Tuesday with 77 WABC's Sid Rosenberg for Sid and Friends in the Morning, Trump said, "People are agreeing on 15, and I'm thinking in terms of that." He also expressed reluctance on a federal ban, saying experts agree it's a state's issue and shouldn't be a federal issue. I'm Jennifer King.
An attorney for Donald Trump says he's optimistic an appellate review will lead to the Georgia 2020 election interference case against him being dismissed and Fulton County District Attorney Fonte Willis being disqualified. Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee granted a request by defense attorneys to ask the Georgia Court of Appeals to review the judge's decision. A Georgia man scheduled to be put to death on what would be the state's first execution in more than 4 years. Willie James Pye, convicted of killing his former girlfriend 3 decades ago, is set for lethal injection this evening. This is SRN News.
Let's see. If something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month. And that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
There's major delays because of a crash on Atlantic Boulevard eastbound at Kernan, blocking the right lane. Also, there's an accident on the East Beltway 295 northbound between Pulaski Road and US 17. And there's a broken down vehicle on the West Beltway 295 northbound before Pritchard Road, blocking the right lane. Mostly clear tonight, low 47, Thursday sunny, high 76. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. This is Craig Henderson with Doug McCary, and we're in the midst of talking about Mark chapter 4, and we're just getting ready to talk about the parable of the mustard seed.
And Craig, like I was sharing, the mustard seed, I don't believe it's the smallest seed in the world, but it's the smallest seed they would have planted.
Right.
And
right.
So Jesus, when he starts off in verse 30, says, what can we compare the kingdom of God? So again, when he talks about the parable of the seed growing, he uses that terminology, the kingdom of God. He's using it again here. He's talking about the kingdom of God, which is the Jesus-ruled kingdom. It is the euangelion. It is the good news that he rules and he reigns. And he says, what parable shall we use for it? He's actually telling them, okay, so I want to explain to you guys what the kingdom of God is like. And he says, it's like a grain, one single mustard seed fleck. And he goes, it's the smallest of seeds, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than plants. These things grow up, and it even though it has the tiniest beginning, which it did, and you know, we talk about that. Remember how the kingdom of God started here? I mean, how it started when he said, what did Jesus say in Mark 1? He goes, the kingdom of God is what? Is at hand.
And it's at hand, right.
When he first came, Mark 1, when he makes that proclamation, how many believers are there in the kingdom of God at that moment? It's just him.
Only him.
It's just him. A guy who was a carpenter, raised by single mom, at least for part of his life.
Right, right.
He went around healing people, but he was rejected. He was homeless, had no place to lay his head, did not have a big cash stash, even though he owned the universe.
Well, he had no formal education either.
No formal education. He ultimately would be tortured and crucified. How many true followers of this Messiah was there when he was tortured and crucified at that point? Maybe just him, maybe John, maybe because John was at the cross, but still everybody fled him in the garden.
That's right. They scattered. Yeah.
So a small beginning, but it was always growing, because what happened after the resurrection, you had 11 disciples. They replaced Judas with Matthias. You had the women that followed him. You had another, you know, group. There was over 120 followers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had 70, then they had 120. And then the day of Pentecost, they had 3,000.
3,000. Amazing.
The gospel would then spread to Samaria with the persecution of Stephen. And then it would go to Ethiopia, because the guy on the road in chapter 8 of Acts from Ethiopia would take the gospel back there. on the road to Damascus. There were believers in Damascus. Ananias was there. He was a believer of the Most High. And the Apostle Paul on that road would encounter, and that little bitty seed that started with Jesus would germinate in him. It would then go to Galatia. It would go to Greece, to Philippi. It would go to Corinth, Ephesus, and Rome, Western Europe, Scotland, England, the U.S., the great missionary movement after World War II in Japan, and then China, India. What Jesus proclaimed in Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And Christianity is the largest religious belief system in history.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And why? Well, because it always had life, not ideology, but life was at the root of its belief system. We have to be born again, Jesus said. It's not that you just develop a new idea, you believe a certain philosophy. You have to be born anew, born again. So it's not about rules, it's not about philosophy, but a whole new life. And what it is he comes in you and gives you the ability to be reunited with your Creator and be at peace with him. But it can only happen through Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
And unfortunately, at this time of year, and I want to speak to this, a lot of people meld a lot of things together. And everybody starts talking about Jesus because it's Easter. Listen, the world, or a lot of the world, knows about Jesus dying on the cross. Just because somebody says they believe Jesus died on the cross doesn't make them a Christian.
That's right.
And that may shock some people, but a lot of people believe Jesus died on the cross. A lot. Judas, you know, believed so much so that he was one of the ones that went out and did miracles. He went out and preached that Jesus was Messiah, but he was not a true follower. And even the demons believe, but they don't trust. They don't trust completely. And that's the issue. They were not born again. People hear the word on a human level. They have no spiritual buy-in, no obedience. They treat Jesus' kingship as optional. And they say, you're adding a work to salvation. No, he is king. And the fact that he's redeemed you, he's not redeemed you to be independent of his kingship. He's redeemed you to be under his rule and reign. And so he did that. And here's what you can rest assured, just like he did with the disciples. And you and I were talking about it in the break. If you're his, he's going to reveal the truth to you.
That's right. That's exactly right.
If you've been born again, like a new baby who wants milk, listen, it's not to say that sometimes babies can't have some kind of illness or some kind of condition where they would reject the milk.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to force feed it. I'm sure there's spiritual things like that, but the Spirit will give you what you need and will grow you if you're His. But we have a responsibility as believers to proclaim the truth about Jesus and his kingship and not dilute it, not try to be pragmatic about it to make people more receptive to it. We proclaim it and we leave the growing up to him.
Well, I think it goes back to that, what we talked about when we were talking about euangelion and the good news. It is for him to rule and reign over my life.
Yes.
Not just for me to be able to say, I want to take him when things are good or when he blesses me or whatever I perceive as blessing. Yeah. It is to allow him to rule over my life. And therefore, you know, it's out of that position that we go and we share the gospel, that we love others. And in Easter time, it really is the fact that we know he made the ultimate sacrifice for my sins.
Mm-hmm. And at Easter time is a great time for us to be sharing the gospel. Real quick, I want to jump to Ezekiel, because in Ezekiel, God has spoken through his prophet Ezekiel about the everlasting covenant. He says in chapter 16, I will establish for you an everlasting covenant, and I will establish my covenant with you. You will know that I'm the Lord. When I atone for you all that you have done, declares the Lord. Well, in chapter 17, he says this. He says, on the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird in the shade of its branches. Birds of every sort will nest, and all the trees of the field will know that I'm the Lord. Well, it's interesting that in this parable that Jesus talks about birds of the air. There's nothing coincidental.
That's right.
He's referencing back to Ezekiel, and this is a messianic prophecy that nations will come out of the euangelion. Daniel does the same thing in Daniel 4, 10 and 21. The birds represent nations. So the euangelion is not just for the Jews. It's for all the nations. It always has been. So,
You're listening to SWAT Radio with Doug McCary. Once again, call in if you have any questions at 1-844-777-7928. 1-844-777-SWAT. And we'll be right back after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
91 FM, the truth.
There I was on death row, guilty in the first degree. Son of God hanging on the hill, hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio with Doug McCary. This segment we take questions, and we'd certainly encourage you to call at 1-844-777-7928. If you would like to send in a question via email, send it into ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. So come on in. Welcome. We'd welcome any questions or comments.
Well, you know, Craig, what are some of the takeaways from this, you know, parable of the sower? Well, not just the sower, but specifically the mustard seed. And for us, are we really confident that God's kingdom's going to continue to grow? And am I being encouraged by that? We should be encouraged. You know, in the modern culture, one of the problems we have is, and we've seen growing pressure from the culture for the church to look more like the culture, and even the way the church is viewed. Nobody in the first church would have said that's Paul's church. Now, they may have had loyalty to Paul, but they would have always said it's Jesus' church.
Right.
But even in our language today, people will talk about you know, pastor so-and-so's church or whatever. And, you know, we've replaced the quality of the leadership and it with the fame.
I was going to say.
And really the... the accolades that should go to God.
It's almost the celebrity pastor.
Yes. And, you know, if you look throughout Scripture, you see even Paul talk about it. Listen, I didn't come to you with mighty words of wisdom.
No.
And look who God used. Who was the guy that wrote most of the New Testament? It was a guy who said he couldn't even speak well. And so... God chose the weak to confound the strong, the foolish to confound the wise. Even and this has been a pattern of God. If you even go back to the Old Testament, God didn't choose the tall, handsome Saul.
Right.
He chose the weak, ruddy David. He wasn't weak. I mean, but David depended on the Lord. And if you look at the disciples, none of us would have picked these guys. It would have been a disaster in our minds to pick those guys, right?
They're like the losers. Yeah. I mean, they're the last guys that you would think of.
Yeah. And as we're going to look at next week on air, when we look at the storms and self-reliance, God isn't looking for the best and the brightest. Really? He just wants people that are going to follow him. He wants those that will depend on him. And what's really great is as we sit back and we're just faithful to follow him, he says, I will make you. He does the work.
That's right. It's him.
Yeah, it's his work in us. And so I think it's a really, really good reminder for us that we just have to trust him. He's grown it. He's done pretty good so far, right?
I think the trust is the big thing in that. You know, Doug, it's in our culture, we're equipped, we're trained to be self-reliant. Our prosperity makes us not worry about where my next meal's coming from or if the lights are going to be on in my house. And I think that breeds a self-reliance that says if things aren't as I want, I may pray about it, you know, like, quote, throwing up a prayer.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't happen soon enough, I figure I got to act. And it's not, and then I'm not trusting God.
Yeah, it's so easy. And we talk about that. I talked about it this week in SWAT. And by the way, if you want to join the SWAT Zoom, you can send an email to ask@SWATradio.com. And I'm happy to add you to that invite list so that you can be a part of that. We have people join us really from all around the country. So I'd love for you to join that. But, and you guys meet tomorrow at, Jumpin' Jack's House of Food. Tell them where that is.
Jumpin' Jack's House of Food off of JTB on 4877 or 4887 Belfort Road. We meet at 6:15 in the morning. Jumpin' Jack's opens up early for us, has breakfast pizzas ready. It's a great group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the Zoom, Chris, I want to give a shout out to Chris Resnick, who is one of was here in Jacksonville, went to SWAT, transferred out in the Navy to San Diego, and watches the Zoom every week.
Yeah, he does. He sure does.
And when he's in town, he comes to the Mandarin SWAT.
Mm-hmm. I just so thankful for you and the other guys that help lead and teach down there. Y'all have done a great job, and it has really been good to unleash you. You know what I mean? Just to let it go. And so it's really good. Well, again, if you have any comments or thoughts, and by the way, I did want to mention several of you have written and asked for copies of the little booklet, Is Jesus God, by John Maisel. And I sent that out today. If you gave me your address, some of you did not give me an address. So kind of hard to send it if I don't have an address. So if you requested a book and did not send me an address, you need to send me an address. You can email again at ask@swatradio.com or doug@swatradio.com. I don't care. And I'll be happy to pop one of those in the mail to you. You know, as you go back, I do want to finish one more thing by talking about yeah. this private explanation. It's a great privilege to be a disciple of Jesus. So often we think of it almost obligatory to eternal life. It's just, we got to do it. You know, otherwise we go to hell, instead of seeing it as the great privilege it is to be an ambassador of this King, to be an emissary representing the Most High God. I remember the first time I heard somebody tell me they're a servant of the Most High God. It kind of took me back because I never heard somebody say that. And I thought, wow, what a cool way to refer to yourself as a servant of the Most High God. We know the truth. We should obey the truth. And we should share the truth. And God's kingdom is going to grow whether we do our part or not. But it is a privilege. And He keeps us in the loop if we stay in His word, on our knees. We stay connected with other believers on mission as battle buddies around the word together, making disciples, having an impact as we witness.
You know, I think it's true in life, as I was listening to you talk about that, that when we speak things audibly, it brings life to them. And, you know, whether it's words of affirmation or words of something else, but the being the servant of the Most High God, by saying that, it reinforces it internally. Mm-hmm. You know, it brings me back to my reference point of who I really am in my relationship with God. And I think that's an awesome thing to remember and maybe remind ourselves to continue to say.
Well, I was sharing with you before we started today about a time recently where I made a bad choice, and not a bad choice about, it wasn't a bad choice, something what you would, most people wouldn't even think of it as anything.
Right.
But I was convicted about it. You know, it literally, if I told you, you know, if I just shared it, most people think, well, that's no big deal. But it was a big deal because it robbed me of something else that I should have done. Not because in it of itself was anything immoral, but it's just my focus should have been somewhere else at the time. And I remember as I just felt so unworthy. And that's how the enemy paralyzes us a lot of times, to make us feel unworthy to the point where we go, you know what, I'm just not going to go do it.
Right, right.
And that's what he wants.
Causes you to think you're going to, yeah, or I'll mess it up or whatever. And you pause.
And God reminded me, as he often does, Doug, on your own, you're never worthy.
That's right. We aren't.
It's only me in you that makes you able to do this. And that's what Paul was talking about. And so if you're out there, maybe you've struggled, maybe you blew it, maybe you've just been in a place where you've kind of been in a downward slump. The only way to stop that cycle is to stop, confess, repent, and ask God, Lord, please remind me that I am yours. Remind me who I am and what you've called me to do. Help me to obey the truth and help me to share the truth of who you are. And as you fall, you get back up. A righteous man stumbles 6, but he gets up 7 times. And God is there wanting us to go, come on, you got this. Just like a parent watching their child learn how to walk. You help them up. They walk a few steps and stumble and fall. You help them back up, and they keep walking in faith. And that's what he's calling us to do. And his kingdom is unstoppable. It is increasing. That's the whole point of everything we covered today. And so remember, he wants you to be confident that his kingdom is growing. And I remember, I can't remember which president said it, but I remember the saying,